فکر میکنم میتونیم کم بیش شروع کنیم. نمیدونم میخوای که من شیر کنم پاورپوینت رو؟ آره آره، کار بسیار به جایی کردی و مشکلی نداره. من الان اوکیش میکنم. اوکی. خب الان باید چیز من رو داشته باشید، درسته؟ اسکرین من رو. بذاریم ببینم، من با گوشی دوباره با وارد شم چون پیاماتون اینجا نمیبینم. اوکی هستش.
آره الان من سفر دارم دوستان. شما چطور سفر دارین؟ خیلی هم خواهد دوستان. من میتونم جلسه رو فارسی بگم، میتونم انگلیسی هم پریزنت بکنم و بر اساس فیوریت شما پریزنت شما پیش ببرم جلسه. اگه خواهدی که انگلیسی پست بگم که دوستان خواهدی بگم.
فکر میکنم اوکی هستش، هر جوری که خودت راحتی. غالبا هاست ما برای ما ارجحیت داره. اوکی اینجا به من دیگه اجازه چیز نمیده. خب خب من دیگه دستش نمیزنم.
دانه جان اصلاحی براتون کامل هست چون که این پاراگرافی که ما اینجا داریم مثل رسای در هست.
فکر میکنم شاید سیوش به عنوان پی دی اف سیوش کردی برام فرستادی. نگاه کن اینطوره.
نه پی دی افش نکردم. من خود فایل دارم مطابق عزیزان. اگر که نشود اشکال ندارم، من خودش میخونم تا بوده دیگه صحبت نشه.
اینجا من تو پاورپوینت هم بازش کنم الان کامل طرفه کنم.
آها درست. آره
Okay.
So, to start, we have to talk about the importance of this story, why it is such an important story to talk about, especially on the topic of the Tarchan family system. I'm sure that you have read this story beforehand, so we should say that The Little Girl by Catherine Mansfield is a story about a young girl who had a complicated relationship with her father. At first, she fears him so strongly that describes him as a giant. And then she grows as in her grows a sense of compassion towards him. She thinks that he is a creature that deserves sympathy instead of fear and hatred. And we want to talk about this, especially in terms of feminist reading, because we might not agree with the little girl that his father must be excused and forgiven on his violent acts. As you can see here, we have three or four characters in this story. A little girl, her mother, the grandmother, and her father. This story, as I said, is important because it reveals how girls may internalize patriarchal values within the very heart of the family, especially with the way that they are educated to be a girl, I mean gender roles, as she sees her mother and grandmother follow them. And from the parenting style of her father, like he's treating her as an object to be someone who has to obey, someone who has to obey and be fearful of the authority. Shall we move on to the next slide, please?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a question for you guys. Can you relate to any childhood experiences that shaped your character as an adult right now? Can you recall any specific experiences?
It depends. If I myself want to add something, I have to say that, because mostly when you are a child, you cannot do your stuff by your own self. Then they told me, okay, if you grow up, be a mature, you can do it by your own. And it's in my mind that, okay, when I become much more older, I can do it without any help.
Good. So you just told us an important information about how these small beliefs in childhood shapes our character and the way that we expect ourselves to behave when we are grown up. So that's the way it works with the little girl in this story. Actually, we see that in this family that is obviously a patriarchal family. The father is an absolute authority and women are on the margins. So we have to say why the father is the, an absolute authority. Because he is the guy who sets the rules, who determines how people should behave. He's the one that demands people to behave in a very clear and organized way. For example, when Kezia confronts her father and she's so nervous and afraid that she can't speak well, she can't speak words, pronounce them correctly, the father expects her to be happy, expects her to not be afraid, and he demands her to speak thoroughly and correctly unless she has to go to see a doctor. And meanwhile, the father, the person who sets the order, kind of belittles the mother that she hasn't taught her to speak words correctly. As you can see, father is the person that demands everything should be done correctly, and he is emotionally detached from the family, and he is not observing the consequences of his behavior. He's not aware that how his behavior affects the whole family, especially the most vulnerable member of the family, who is Kezia. And it is so important to notice that this girl's emotional needs and feelings are always denied by him. Especially, she is kind of encouraged to be obedient. She's encouraged to be compliant to the norms and the family system, because she can't express her dissatisfaction with the boy, with the father, and she can't even tell her father that she's afraid of him. And all in all, these all evidences from the story prove that the girl is being raised in a family that men are supreme powers and women are on the margins, especially that the women are housekeepers and the men who is the male figure who is the father of the family, is the only provider, the one who gives protection to the family and works full time. And it is interesting that we don't know why this father works full time. Is it because they are in debt, because they are struggling financially, or do they need the money? Or because he just wants to be the supreme power, or because he wants to avoid emotional contact with the family, he wants to be unapproachable. We don't know. What we see is that he is an unapproachable and unavailable father in this story. And in the third slide, we're going to give a flower focus on two women, how they are being treated. We reviewed that women are on the margins, but I want to say that not only they are, not only are they on the margins, but also they're kind of very dependent creatures. They don't have any real agencies. They suppress unpleasant emotions produced by patriarchy. As you just said, Kezia can't express her true feelings towards her father. And because the story is narrated from her feelings and thoughts, we get to know her real emotions, not from her actions, but from her the revelation of her thoughts through the third person narration. And we can see that women, her mother and her grandmother won't rescue her, won't support her. They don't try to soothe the situation. They don't try to show her that she can question the system. She can question the rules. She has to be obedient because the women there are obedient. For example, when the little girl, Kezia, is left alone with her keeper, with her caregiver, Alice, she's told that she mustn't be afraid of her nightmares. She mustn't make any noises to wake her daddy up in the middle of the night. So we see that her feelings are really important. She has to soothe herself. She has to be quiet in order not to disturb her father. And they just neglect the fact that she's just a little girl, she's a kid, and she has her own needs. And we see that Alice, as a grown-up, as a mature person, can't really support her emotional needs as a child. And she's encouraged to be quiet instead of solving her problems. And the father is not someone who supports, but someone that must not be disturbed by the emotional needs of his child. And that's interesting. Another example is when Kezia wants to be punished. Her father realizes that she had accidentally tore up his papers. So he decides to punish her severely, neglecting the fact that she is sick, she is a child, and she meant good. Considering all these things, we would have acted differently, but he decides to punish her. And what about the mother? What does the female figure do in this part of the story? She just doesn't support her daughter. She assists her husband to punish their daughter just because she thinks that the authority commands that she must be punished. They have to be strict and she just follows. And this is where I think that we should question if it is fair that little girl to be treated like that, and if it's fair that the mother assists the father in punishing her. What are your thoughts? Do you think it was a fair add to her, or maybe you just think that it was unfair. Just let me know.
Does anybody has any other idea?
So if it was, if you were there, if you have the same experience, would you do the same as the father? Or you would act differently? For example, you are a teacher and you suddenly realize that your student, who is a girl, a little girl or a little boy, and he has accidentally tore all your pieces, and what would you do? Would you punish him or her severely, or would you forgive them?
For sure not. It's obvious, I think, yeah. It's really cruel.
Yeah. So if we think that it's cruel, we should question why they did that. Why they chose to do that. It's perhaps because they thought they're doing good. They thought they didn't think that they're doing something evil.
I think a person has a message that I cannot read it out.
Kayvon says that some fathers are cruel to their children. And that's the point. If we consider that some fathers are cruel to their children, it's like normalizing what is not normal. It is not normal to be cruel to your children. We should investigate more on this topic, that why some fathers do violent acts towards their children. And this is what we're going to see. That these violent acts, how do they affect children, especially little girls? And I think you all remember that I said Kezia couldn't show her true feelings, her true fears, because it was forbidden. If she has ever told them that she hates her father, she is fearful of them, she would be punished, or she would have been ignored, just she was ignored about her fear of nightmares and other things. It's interesting that in the story, we get informed of her nightmares. She dreams of a butcher with a cleaver every night. She is followed by that butcher, and if we want to analyze this through Freud's terms, we should say that this butcher is a displacement of the father. Displacement means that in your dreams, you replace the figure, the person that you fear the most in your dreams to a safer figure, to a safer symbol, so you can express your true emotions to that figure and symbol instead of risking the real consequences. In simpler words, she's afraid of the consequences of revealing her true feelings, so her subconscious creates those dreams to get release of the tension, to get release of those sad feelings, bad feelings, and the repressed ones. So the butcher is actually her father, and because she's encouraged to be the good girl, because she's encouraged to turn down all those emotions, she just shows her feelings in her nightmares, in her dreams. And it's important to note that feelings, once repressed, are not gone. They stay in your subconscious, they stay in your body, and they're not going anywhere. Another sign of that fear that takes a physical shape is when she can't pronounce words really well. The tension, the anxiety takes over her. and she, her pronunciation and her speaking deteriorates whenever she sees her father. And it is more interesting that she had this recurrent nightmare, but just after being punished, this nightmare reoccurred. She dreamed of that butcher again, and this is the climax of the story, of course, when she faces her father in a different personality. He is there to support her, to hug her, to comfort her, and she realizes that the man she used to fear now becomes a kind figure that she can rely on, actually. So this is the climax of the story, because she thought at the beginning that the father is a giant, he is so big, he is cruel, I am afraid of him, but at the end, she is compassionate towards him. She thinks that because he works hard, because he is so tired, he can't be so kind to me. So maybe his meanness is because of his tiredness. That's how she makes sense of it all. But we have to wait a minute. We have to stop here. We have to remember that this story is narrated through a child's eye, through her lens. This story makes sense, but should it make sense to us as adults? If we read the story the way that it presents itself, we shouldn't question it. But if we try and if we have the courage to read it differently, to question it, to see what's the real message of the story, we can say that the narrator is fallible because it's a child. The conclusion that Kezia comes to is not from an adult's eye, but from a kid, a little kid that tries to cope with the stress, tries to cope with the aggressor. Freud's daughter, Anna, said that sometimes children try to grow feelings of intimacy and closeness to the aggressor, to the person who abuses them, to the person who is cruel to them, because they want to defend themselves. They have to love that person, otherwise they're not safe. They fear that if they hate them, they will risk their safety. And that's why Kezia makes sense of the whole story like it is her fault and not his father. Why? Because we have this line here that she says she's so tired that he's so tired that he can't be a Mr. McDonald. She had torn up all his beautiful writings. You see, she says that it's my fault. I have torn up all his beautiful writings. He's so tired. You know, can you detect the generals? A man who gives protection, a man who works full time. So if he is violent, if he's aggressive, we should forgive that because he's giving us protection. So that's why we should make sense of the story from our eyes, not from Kezia's. It might make sense psychologically. We can sympathize with Kezia, we can sympathize with her father. Of course, the father is not a giant. I'm not saying that he's a giant. I'm not saying that he's not a human. Of course, he's a human being. But being a human doesn't make us to excuse violence. Because we are humans, we should stop being violent. And to come to the conclusion, we should focus on how children, especially girls, internalize those values because they need protection from their caregivers, because they are fallible, because they are not cognitively competent to make sense of stories as we do. We should be really careful about how we behave, and we should be also be careful how the system grows from childhood, from a family, from a place that is meant to be safe. And we should notice that women from every generation play an important role in continuing the cycle. It is a broken cycle that by being silent, being passive all the time, not being agent, we just teach our children to continue that cycle again and again. And I think if the women there could have questioned the system, questioned the rules, and if the grandmother didn't soothe her, didn't try to relieve her pain, relieve her scars, something better could have happened to Kezia. And it was all from this perfect story from Catherine Mansfield. And I am done with the presentation. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer. And maybe you can give me your interpretation of the story as well, because I'm so eager to listen to them. I couldn't find any articles on this story. That was strange. It seems that it wasn't interesting enough to scholars, but I ask you to read the story again, analyze it, write some papers on this, because it's a worthy piece of art to be looked at.
Thank you so much, dear Maide. It was really fantastic. And to be honest, when I read this story, it's a lot to just talk about it in any kind of critical point of view. We can just watch this story, and it's really, really deep, I think, in my eyes. If it's possible, let me to finish this PowerPoint too. Okay, here we have Aria. Hi. Now I can see my screen. Wait a minute. Okay, we have somebody who put something into the messages. Exactly. So it says, interesting story. It was an important point, and isn't has been discussed extensively from psychological point of view, I guess, children psychology. That's totally true, I think, to be honest.
I have to add something important here. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't think that feminism is just about theories of being women under violence. That's the basics. Actually, feminism is so competent to relate all fields of science and studies. It includes psychoanalysis, it includes some other areas of study. So if you analyze a story through feminism and psychology, it doesn't mean that they are two different things. Feminism always looks for support in other fields of science, and this story could be analyzed more thoroughly from new generation feminism studies, and especially trauma studies. And you can research about this more, searching keywords like how kids are affected by patriarchal family systems, how parenting styles, how patriarchal family parenting style can affect children, and how it can affect their mental health, their characters, how their mind develops. And it's so huge and extensive. And of course, interesting.
Yeah, exactly. To be honest, the climax of the story, it was really like shock for me that that child really totally changed her viewpoint from his dad. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. That was my response to, that, what just happened, girl? You just forgot about what has gone to you, what has happened to you.
Yeah, exactly. Here also, Capcom, if I'm not wrong, I don't know if it's K1 or something, it's okay. Just pointed out that another point in these things can also happen to boys. Yes, for sure, it can happen for boys, but the thing is that if we just watch this story in a point of view of patriarchal society, So in this case, I think this is the point for the writer who writes it in the eye of the girl, like baby girl.
Mm-hmm. So we don't read literature to support ourselves. We read literature to go through the lives, to live the lives we couldn't live, to see how characters feel, think differently from us. Exactly, I do believe that boys can be suppressed and repressed, but this time we looked at a little girl's experience, not because she's superior to other guys or to boys, no, just because it was her experience. It was important to know her experience, and if there is another story that focuses on a boy's perspective of the whole story, we shall consider that. And of course, I think it's important for boys to write about themselves. It's important for men to talk about themselves, to share their views. It's important that they don't be fearful of the system.
Yeah.
So we can analyze our stories.
Exactly. We can have a different point of view for that and analyze it or criticize it in each kind of point of view. That's totally fine and okay, because it has a lots of layers and aspects, I think, mm-hmm. that we can go deeply through it. Okay, is there anybody has something to add or say something about it? To be honest, I really enjoyed it. I really liked the choice of this story. I really like it, because also the article that I shared into the group, it was really useful, and just my eyes open about the different point of view. It was really fantastic.
I just didn't see the article. I should go and check it.
Yes, I saw it into the I sent it to the group. Yeah, exactly after the poster, I sent it out.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank
yeah.
you. I really love reading articles. They give so much insight.
Yes, yes. So, thank you so much, by the way, again, dear Maide. After a long time, it would be a really big honor for us to having you here. And you're analyzing, your explanation, everything. It was fantastic. We all the time learn a lot about you. Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed this opportunity to be here with you, to talk about this, to share what I just found. And I hope I can write more about this. I can share more about this story. And I hope I see you writing about this.
Oh, yes.
More,
yes,
because... There are no articles, just believe me. I just searched a Google Scholar and I found nothing. Maybe it was my fault that I couldn't find, but I searched the keywords and there was nothing. I searched the whole net and all the summaries, all the perspective on this story was that it was her misunderstanding. It was her fault. It was her fault that she was afraid, and it was her fault that was corrected. And that was the point I really hated, because it just continues the cycle to blame women for the violence they're experiencing.
To be honest, it's really interesting in my mind that you can also write a thesis or an article on it. Exactly, because you're mentioning there isn't also a lot of things about it.
Yeah.
So I think for this, our friends that they are here also, or when the other also maybe watch it offline, they can find it out very interesting to write about it something. And
if
with the pleasure.
Any help, if they can ask in the group, I can send them some articles supporting this idea. Maybe we can do something magnificent.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really nice of you and your support. For sure.
So I think we're done. I should thank all our audience. Thanks for joining. And hope to see you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much, dear Maide. For sure, I tried to share the PowerPoint with you after the recording of the session. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the night. Thank you for your coming. See you next week. Thank
Bye.
You, Maide. Bye-bye. Have a good night.